Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Alicia Minshew returns to All My Children, Jen Lilly debuts on Days of Our Lives, Luke searches for a cure on General Hospital, Matthew's catfish tells more lies on One Life to Live, Phyllis and Nick race against time on Y&R, and Heather Tom gives one badass boss of a performance on The Bold and the Beautiful. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hello.
Melody Akles, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Mel, were you one of those people who were hashtagging The Bold and the Beautiful this last
week when
Heather Tom was giving a performance du jour?
Y'all, I was late to work on Monday and Tuesday, messing around watching The Bold and the Beautiful because it is that good. When all the showdown happened at Brooke's birthday party, I was glued to the screen, okay? Katie told them, she told Taylor, you lying. My Brooke would never do that. And of course, we all knew it was all the truth. We knew it was the truth. So Taylor gets thrown out along with the rest of the party. And Katie makes Brooke tell her the truth. Yes, she did. Brooke slept with Bill and she got pregnant. Honey, Katie turned that party out, okay? It was amazing. She was like, you two are sick. You are sick. And I was yelling at the screen, hashtagging on Twitter. Heather Tom shut it down, okay? She shut the game down. It was amazing.
My favorite line was when she told her that she needed to go wash up.
Oh, yeah.
She was brutal. She said, you're yes. too old to get pregnant. I said, I don't know. Stop that.
Okay, come to Brooke's defense, Mr. Brooke apologist.
That is right. I am going to come right to Brooke Logan's defense, but only after I throw in with Mel and say what a boss performance. Yes. Heather to the Tom gave. So did Hunter Tylow. Kept it so subtle. Hunter said she slept with him. She did it. You know, just matter-of-factly. Like, I guess after 20 years of battling Brooke, she said, she did the little build-up for a while. She's like, you know, she slept with him. I said, you bitch, you. But, yeah,
my second favorite was when she goes, ask him.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just ask.
But I am going to come to, but I don't even have to because Dollar Bill said everything I needed to say because he reminded Katie that she orchestrated this. She did not give him the right to do it.
Those two had the biggest excuses on the planet.
Yes, she did. She orchestrated it. She sent them on a wild
depression is not orchestration.
Oh, please. And postpartum depression, you ain't got the sense enough to plan no hot air balloon rides. Katie was a punk. She gave up too easily and she was like, I'm gonna get this man to my sister. I'm gonna send them on a hot air balloon ride.
Does that make any kind of sense? Would a person who is in their right mind say that? Think about it.
Well, she did it. And you don't do that kind of stuff with Brooke Logan. You do not love.
But that does not mean, if she's suffering from postpartum depression, that does not mean that her sister can take advantage of her and the situation, which is what Brooke did.
She didn't take advantage of nobody. Katie gave that man to Brooke Logan, and Brooke Logan said she was like, okay, I ain't keeping the receipt, Katie, because I'm not giving it back. And doggone it, she slept with him. Well, Katie, that's what you wanted. You made them sleep together. You sent them off on a goose chase together. You put them up in a hot air balloon together. You were in your right mind enough to do all of that. It wasn't stand up in a court of law.
She wasn't in her right mind when she did that. She was still suffering.
Look up the doggone, what that mental health book is called. I can't even think of it. The DMB 75 Manual of Crazy People. And it will tell you that if you got the sense enough to make a reservation on a hot air balloon, then you are still in your right mind.
Hunter Tylow's character,
Taylor,
was during that whole period when she was counseling Katie. Now, granted, Taylor as a counselor is becoming a bit of a stretch. But when she was, She was saying you need to not do these things because your postpartum depression is telling you to. She did say that kind of stuff. There was that kind of dialogue.
Makes you sit in your windowsill and cry and look out the window and want to hear D.I. Warwick songs. It don't make you book a damn romantic trip for your sister and your man. That's called insecurity. That's called, I know I can't satisfy this man, so I'm going to just go out and give it, throw in the towel and give him the Brooke. That's called, I want him to be everything I need him to be, to stop drinking, stop smoking, and, you know.
Just because Brooke's working on an edible panty line doesn't mean she needs to test them out on
maybe if some of these other women in Southern California would let somebody eat their panties, then Brooke would have to satisfy all the men on the show. She is such a patriot. I keep telling y'all.
She's like McDonald's. She's a drive-thru with 5 billion served.
Well, that's all right. They keep coming back for more then, don't they? Because if Katie and Taylor and Dan Stephanie and Mason could have kept their men folks satisfied, and Bridget too, even her own daughter, she had to help her out because they don't know how to satisfy their men folks. And so Brooke Logan has to take one for the team again. And look,
she took a lot for the team, apparently.
After this, ain't nobody going to be believing.
She doesn't take just a lot for the team. She takes the whole team and then and the opposing
Brooke
team.
Brooke Logan is the buffet, honey.
Yes, she is. She's the Golden Corral.
She has to bear
$14.95 for a drink and as many drinks as you want.
Bear all the scarlet letters while Eric gets to go back and be. They always talk about Eric. He's such a good man. Well, he is the same man who was hunching on Brooke when he was with Stephanie and knowing that she wanted his son. And he's the same man who's hunching on Taylor, knowing she done hunched both of his sons too. Why is it always Brooke that has to be crying and sad? The men folk don't be crying and sad. Dollar Bill buying tiaras. He ain't sad. I'm tired of everybody punishing my Brooke Logan for doing what comes naturally to her.
Because Brooke is always the one that gets pregnant for some other man. Always.
Well, Brooke,
thank God they got rid of it.
She can't help herself that she has a healthy uterus. See, it's just punishing.
She does not need to be the mama sow of soaps.
Oh, I didn't want Brooke to have another baby. Trust me. Brooke has, look, RJ is out there somewhere. That child with Frisco Jones is out there. No, I did not want Brooke to have another baby for her to ignore, because this is like right now it's only like Brooke even cares about two of her children. But no, it was great soap opera, because that is what Brooke Logan is supposed to be doing on this show. A few years back when Brad Bell first started this endless, you know, well, actually it has ended, so I'm not going to dog him anymore, but when he started the seemingly never-ending Liam Hope Steffi, you remember that he mentioned that it was time for Brooke and Ridge to, you know, kind of become.
Listen, that didn't end because he chose it to. It ended because Jacqueline McGinnis Wood decided, I need to have work on some other projects.
Well, whatever is clever, it's over.
I'm not crediting him for that one, though, Brad.
He has brought out other stuff. Brad Bell is a savvy showrunner. All these other shows, look at some of the other examples of when big stars leave these shows. These shows are left spinning in the winds and looking crazy. But Brad Bell is like, oh, you want to leave? All right, well, let's spin this on over into this direction. And I commend him for that. But what I'm saying is, a few years back, when he said, I'm going to make Brooke and Ridge the matriarch and the patriarch, and we're going to stop them from doing all the hunching, and I'm going to be honest, I had the same reaction I had when I read, I think that was also a Michael Logan interview, when Hogan Sheffer years ago said he was going to grow Sammy up by inner soap. No. Like, oh, hell no. No. Don't nobody want Brooke Logan as a matriarch, and don't nobody want a grown-up Sammy. Now what do we have? Two red-hot soaps where Brooke Logan is fucking and Sammy Brady is jumping on people's backs in parks and wrestling them to the ground and then ended up shooting them. So, yes. Don't mess with these blonde super bitches that I know better than anybody. Don't nobody want them grown up, and don't nobody ever want Brooke Logan to stop fucking. When she's 95 years old, I want her to be stealing her great-granddaughter's husband.
Well, as fast as she puts out kids, it might be her great.
You jealous?
Mel, yes. Jamie mentioned crazy earlier. What did you think of Caroline's script writing?
I love Caroline so much. It's amazing because in the beginning I hated this character. She was just so, get off my screen. And now I'm like, Caroline, where have you been? I missed you. Her and that guy, I don't even know his name. It needs to be steamier. Like, it needs to be steamier. That's all I can hear in my head.
I never in my soap imagination / fantasy ever wanted to imagine Carla Moseley tonguing Lauren St. Victor.
You not watch The Guideline? I don't understand. Because they are playing Remy and Christina.
I know, they absolutely are. I told Jamie that this last week. It is Guiding Light 2.0 on B&B.
This is Remy and Christina on the Bold and Beautiful. For all my Guideline fans out there, this is what this is, okay? But I love Caroline. I love all the scheming that she does. And having her show the video at the 4th of July fireworks party thing, I thought that was brilliant too, because you could just see in the background just smiling, standing back looking like a spider. Oh, I loved it. I loved every part of it.
I love her too. She's hilarious. They really, you know, we've said it already, but they've saved that character. I saw a lot of people complaining on Twitter about how that was breaking up the, you know, the dramatic tension of the Katie stuff. But if you're a longtime Bold and Beautiful fan, you know they've always done that. Whenever there was huge drama with the Foresters, it always cut to Sally Spectra going, ha ha ha, Ducky, or whatever she called Clark, Bucky, Ducky, I bet there's a lot of crazy stuff going on at La Forester's house tonight. You know, they've always had Sally. And I'm certainly not comparing, because people, you know, they'll take what you say. I'm not saying that Lindsay, what's-a-face, is Darlene, is the new Darlene Conley. But what I am saying is she serves that same purpose that Bill Bell always had years ago, where you play, you have huge drama, and then you juxtapose it with hijinks.
Well, I'm going to go to our late arriving reporter Jillian to discuss Wyatt, Hope, and Liam. What'd you think of them this last week?
I actually like them. You know, I don't mind them. Everybody else is like, oh, here we go. I thought she was interested in Liam. I like it because now Liam gets to see what Hope dealt with his flip-flop, and now it can make him wake up and realize what he wants. But then again, it also gives you that distinction that Liam may just want Hope because someone else wants her. But I dig it. I totally loved when Wyatt Hope checked Liam.
Jamie, are you looking forward to Rena Sofer's arrival as Wyatt's mom?
I am, in a way. I'm going to be honest. We know how Brad Bell likes to collect big-name stars.
you know, put him in his trophy case.
I'm like, Sarah Brown, Antonio Sabato Jr., Mario Lopez, A. Rick Martinez, Hurst. Holden.
Rick Hurst.
You know, so I'm just hoping that Brad is really not going to go 6 months from now, bye, Rena. Because, you know, you can't do that with these big, I mean, well, he did it with Sarah Brown, 3-time Emmy winner. So, you know, I'm hoping for the future that he will write a long-term, fully fleshed-out story for this person and not get bored. Because that's one thing. Outside of the whole Forrester, Spencer, Logan trifecta, he gets bored really fast. And
well, but that also sort of leads me to my next question for Mel, which is, Hope noticed the necklace that Wyatt was wearing. What did you think of that little foreshadowing, if it was one?
Well, I'm sure it was foreshadowing. I mean,
of course it's foreshadowing.
A big sword.
Why
necklace.
Would they show?
It was foreshaming, not foreshadowing.
I'm so tired of them damn little sword necklaces. I just want to take them all and burn them and I'll fire.
I wonder, is this going to be Ridge and Nick for the younger generation? You know, You know, Ridge ran the women forever, and then he got a half-brother that, so I'm like, are we going to find out? Surprise! Wyatt is his half-brother, so.
Or is this going to be Ridge and Thorne?
Well, they knew they was brothers. I'm talking about.
No, I mean, like, how, you know, Ridge was the chosen one, and Thorne was like the, you know, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, considering how little airtime Windsor Harmon gets, that doesn't.
Well, I am glad that she is that Mama Fuller is a jewelry designer, because that mixes things up a little bit. Because, you know, they don't really do a lot with the fashion line. I mean, they talk about the fashion lines, but they're not. You know, and I'm fine with that, because I mean, it's been such good drama. But I'm glad that they'll bring in another industry to kind of change up the game with her being a jewelry designer. But I just hope, my hope is with that is use them. And don't, you know, don't just use them for 3 months, because this is Rena to the Sofa and Darren Brooks, who is a Daytime Emmy winner. So I'm like, use them. Don't just.
Both of them are.
Don't get bored with them in 6 months, you know, because look, GH can snatch them on up and bring Lois Cirillo home, and hey, Darren can play Dylan.
You know? Yeah, there you go. Let's talk about another actor who was snatched up. Jen Lilly debuted on Days of Our Lives, opposite of JJ. Jamie, I know you were a fan.
I am. I always said Jen Lilly would kill on Days of Our Lives, because whereas some of her acting choices might have been
not Maxie-ish,
a bit much for GH's interpretation of Maxie, she definitely has that Sammy quality to her acting. You know, that how dare you? You know, that kind of overly melodramatic thing that Days does well at. And I've loved her little nasty character. I loved all the sexual innuendo. Y'all know I love J.J. Devereaux. The little boy is mannish. He's cute. He's, you know, a little bit pervy. Now that we see him in the scene with a girl, she overhears him talking about his drugs, and she's like, so, when can I get a taste? And, you know, there's all this innuendo, and she's like, she called him a little boy or something. He goes, trust me, I'm not little. And he's just grinning. And, you know, it's just this nasty, I love that kind of stuff. So, from what I've been reading, she's going to be evil. I'm wondering how that's going to be. There's also a lot of rumors that she might be connected to someone from the past, you know, some popular last blast heroine who's coming back again soon. Although she wasn't a heroine the last time she was in town. I don't know if any of that's going to pan out, but there are rumors out there. So I'm enjoying her right now. I'm enjoying the heck out of her. I love JJ. I love the family drama he's causing for Jennifer. I wrote about this. I'll say it again. I'm interested in Danifer for the first time, only because they have an adequate foil now. It's not some woman trying to come between them. It's a real issue that I'm sure many, you know, widowed women or divorced women can identify with. Your teenager dealing with the fact that you're trying to move on with your life. I think it's refreshing, you know. I do, and Melissa Reeves is proving that she is still a boss actress, because when she ho-checks JJ, I'm sitting here thinking, when you gonna hit him? Because, you know, all that talking, you know, and he still ain't listening. It's time for somebody to get a switch. But I love those scenes. I mean, I do miss spunky Jennifer. I do miss spunky fun Jennifer. And I said this on the blog too, and I got creeped for it, but I don't care. The only time I've seen Melissa Reeves smile in a scene with a man in 2 years was when she had a scene recently with Roman. So I said, damn, maybe Roman and Jennifer need to hit the sheet.
No. Shutting that down. I was
And
gross.
Not only that, but you're like, Five Ways to Fix Franco was so popular, I was going to suggest that you do a Five Ways to Fix Daniel and then realize there would either be 1 or 100. 1 for him to be written off, or 100 that it would take to try and fix that character. Right, Jillian, what were you going to say?
I'm digging JJ with this girl. I mean, I'm interested to see what more it is. It gives, you know, and it also in a way makes Jennifer and Daniel a bit interesting, because even though JJ is sort of like, not JJ sort of is, sort of like JJ is the voice of the people, like, you know, Bob, why you up under this hairy chest, Dr. Bob? You forgetting about Dad? It's like, hello, say it again. I just want him to do a little bit more. You know what I mean? And maybe this girl will make him do a little bit more. Mm.
Speaking of doing a little bit more, Kristen this last week tried to edit her sex tape, wasn't wholly successful at it, and decided to call one of Stefano's henchmen
tech
for
support.
Help.
Geek, tech the support. Geek Squad from...
the Stefano Geek Squad. The Phoenix Geek Squad. And then there was an iPad mix-up. What have you guys thought of the fallout and the aftermath of her raping Eric, Jamie?
Oh, that word. It was a little seduction. No, I thought it was delicious. It was depraved. It's awful, but it's a soap opera. So
it's Tamira.
Yes, and whereas Stefano don't usually force himself on nobody. He just puts you in a birdcage until you decide you love him. But he tries to make you his queen of the night and then accidentally allows the devil to enter your soul. But, yeah, Kristen is like, no, Daddy, I'm not going to just kidnap him and put him in no birdcage. I'm going to climb up on him and hutch, hutch, hutch till the cows come home or until Nicole shows up or even though she didn't get there in time to save poor Eric. But Eric didn't look like he wanted to be saved to me. yeah, the iPad mix-up thing is funny. I like how Days is using new technology in their storytelling. You know, it's no longer the someone overhears in the, you know, in the barrister. It's, oh, there's a cell phone video mix-up or there's an iPad mix-up. So I think that's neat. It's still classic James Riley because if you notice, they never get to see the video that they're supposed to see, or they never, you know, so that's very much old school Riley. Like, we're going to show this video. No! And then it's not the video you think it is. Or yeah, so, I mean, I'm loving that she has taken her villainy to the next level. And Kristen is so obsessed with getting back at Marlena. Hell, she told Sammy, if you was a lesbian, I used you to get back at her.
She was like talking to herself in classic Dave fashion, where she was just like, Sammy, too bad that, you know, too bad I can't use you to get back at your mother.
And then wouldn't even bother Marlena. Marlena would just be like, oh, what is Sammy doing now? You know, Sammy done had 18 kids. Marlena gonna be fazed by the fact.
I think if Sammy, let's say if Sammy swang both ways and she hooked up with Kristen, I think the devil will come out of Marlena and try to kill Sammy for that.
Well, see, that's what I'm wondering. Speaking of the devil, I'm like, they're doing all this stuff with this priest character. I'm like, don't tease me, Gary Tomlin. If you're gonna bring back the devil, just do it. Because I know I will be happy. I know every soap snob that watches soaps that conveniently forgets the ratings that story got would be groaned. But I would dance a jig if they brought the devil storyline back and they have the
and had Sammy possessed.
Well, yeah, Sammy or one of Sammy's kids. I'd probably do Rosemary's Baby, where I'd have one of Sammy's 50-11 dozen kids possessed by the devil. Or a little C.
Did you just say 50-11?
50-11 dozen. That's what we say in the South when somebody got a bunch of kids. They got 50-11 dozen kids. But I'll tell you who would be a good choice. That little Sierra, Hope's little girl. She's creepy.
Remember how creepy that little boy of Cassie's was on Guiding a Light?
Yeah.
Sierra would be just as creepy.
Sierra is already creepy, and she don't have a demon in her. You weren't paying attention to me, mommy. That's why I let the prison rapist out to go get Cousin Nick.
Jillian?
God.
Sammy got off this last week, but it wasn't EJ the one who helped her. It was Justin.
EJ helped Sammy get off all the time, and don't you forget
okay.
it.
Okay, I was
She was cleared by a grand jury.
I liked it. I was glad. You know, this is giving Justin and Adrian something to do. That's all I did was yell at my TV when Adrian was just like, can't believe that she got off. And Will was like, what you trying to say? Like, Will started rolling that neck. Like, don't be talking about my mom.
Will
like
rolls a neck, too.
You know, I was like, Adrian, your family are a bunch of hustlers and grifters. I'm like, Patch, we won't discuss Patch. I'm like, we all know what Patch did. I'm like, yo, Daddy Duke. And let me forget about Jack. Jack raped Kayla. Who are you to judge? I'm like, and you're married to the Kyriakos clan. Need I say more? She just killed me with this whole, I can't believe it, and I felt so bad and stuff. I'm like, I cannot wait for her to find out that Sammy, you know, find out the truth so she could have egg on her face and Marlena could just chin check the hell out of her. I loved, it's giving a lot, you know, Sammy's predicament is giving a lot of people to do stuff that aren't, like, really connected to Sammy, you know what I mean? That aren't the traditional Sammy and EJ. The fallout from her shooting is giving a lot of people stuff to do, so I'm glad it's umbrellaing a lot of people. You know, when Roman was sitting on that bar stool just complaining to Hope, Abe's just going ahead and giving that man a King's Hero going away party and shit, and he's just kvetching about it. Abe, and then Abe comes with his perfectly coiffed mustache and was just like, look, man, I got it, son. I'm like, that's your play, me.
That mustache hasn't changed in years, has it?
No.
No, it hasn't.
Let's talk a little bit about General Hospital. Mel, There was a whole bunch of 4th of July celebrations, and barbecue was on the menu. No one just expected it to be the doll of Emma.
Ariel. Oh!
Yeah, I was thinking it was like, yeah, apparently someone wanted some barbecue chicken. What'd you think?
I mean, it gave the drama, if that's what they were going for. Granted, I don't understand why we had to breed a little baby into it, but I mean, I knew in the beginning when Mac and Felicia gave the little girl the baby doll, I was like, oh, she fixing to go off because I know she don't want that baby and Britt's baby and all that. So I knew that was going to happen. Now, this whole business with Britt, oh, here, Britt, here you have my doll. You can play with it. And then she throw it away like the evil little woman she is.
That's because it peed.
I mean, I know it was wet, but still, I mean, is she going to have a baby? What you think they're going to do?
Especially if it's a boy.
What you think they do?
She gonna spike that baby to the floor and be like, ew, cooties!
Right, and run away.
Oh, yeah.
So they cooking the baby, and now you got a little Emma.
See, I just sort of wish that it had been Sabrina throwing on the grill, but...
You're trying to villainize Sabrina.
I do not like her.
I got a request on Twitter today to go on a full Sabrina rant, and I was like, I don't not like her that much to go on a rant.
Listen,
I think Luke is the only one. I don't know if
they could do it.
I don't know if a nurse did something to Luke during a doctor's appointment or what, but he is, you know, all these years, what if they tell stories about the hospital? About the hospital? About the hospital? Well, they got a doggone story with plenty of hospital characters, and you don't like nan one of them because they revolve around Patrick. They revolve around Patrick.
Wait. That is not true.
Oh,
I like
Clipper said, wait.
I like Britch. I think Britch is fantastic. I do not like the measly mouth.
Well, everybody can't be Scarlet, Luke. They got to have melanin for Scarlet to be fun.
You need a heroine.
No, that's
you can't just have five bitches running around.
No, you need a heroine.
Sammy versus Nicole worked perfectly.
No, it didn't. You think so. Didn't nobody like seeing two bitches fight? What's the fun in that? I mean, it can be okay. You know, Dominique Devereaux and Alexis, yeah, that's all right. But at the end of the day, a heroine versus a bitch works better every time. Rachel and Alice. Scarlett and Melanie.
Is not root worthy enough to be able to do that, though.
There are plenty of people who root for Sabrina. There have been plenty of people. And again, these are people who have been online begging, why wouldn't Bob Guza tell any hospital stories? The hospital is an afterthought, and you, my friend, were one of them. Now there are let me finish. There are now four or five hospital characters, and they all revolve around Patrick.
Here's my problem with that, though.
He works at the hospital.
Patrick is the only one of that whole storyline who's been on the show for any significant length of time. And there's becoming so many characters orbiting around him that even though they're mostly in the hospital, that he's not enough to anchor them down.
Well,
at
I
least
mean,
in,
he's the only doctor contract player that's a doctor on staff.
Yeah. The
hospital
needs to revolve around Steve Hardy. He basically is now the Steve Hardy.
If they had more contract doctors on staff, more actors that were contract players that were on staff, I could see your gripe if you're like, why there's orders around Patrick, but he's the only actor.
But the thing about that is, though, is if you combine that with all the other new faces that aren't in the hospital storylines, there's a lot of new faces on GH, and I understand that they have to do it for budgetary purposes, but it would be nice if you would slip a few more vets into those storylines to help them anchor.
Well, there aren't any
vets
that are contracted.
It's the same principle as having Franco and Ava in the Quartermain mansion and no Quartermains around. It's like Patrick is in this hospital storyline and he's pretty much the only person in it,
because
other than all the new
people.
No, Spinelli is in that storyline also.
Yeah, very loosely. I mean, because he's Ellie's boyfriend and he's
well,
doing
look,
a
and
bit
that's
of investigation.
The thing. This is a soap where the hospital characters were all decimated, so they had to bring in new people to fill these roles. It's really no different than what Monty did, except for the fact that, yes, Steve Hardy and all of them were still viable in 4 or 5 day a week characters, but Guza didn't really leave anybody any options. Dr. Tony is dead. Bobby Rick got ran off. Alan is dead.
They got rid of Liz's brother.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, he needed
I'm
to go.
I'm just saying, he was there.
Defense.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is there was a veteran
character. Come back.
He had to go.
He had to go. Unless they made him liven up some, he had to go. So I'm not feeling bad. I get what you're saying. I get what
hospital song were newbies. At good, girls don't. But Annie won't. Annie wasn't core. Annie wasn't at that show in 1963. You have to create new characters to bring.
I'm not saying that it's wrong that there's new characters. That's not my point. My point is that there are not. There should be at least one more veteran player in there in the full, like, that is on as much as Patrick in that storyline.
I get what you're saying. I mean, well, you know, if Monica's on contract, is Leslie Charleston on contract?
I don't know if she's on contract or not, but that's the other thing people don't get. In the last 6 to 8 months to do what they had to do, most of those vets don't come cheap. Frank had to juggle balls in the air to get all these people in and out and in and on this show. So that's why you're going to have a lot of people that make $500 a day, mm-hmm. as opposed to a lot of people. Well, now they probably make like $1,000. But anyway.
I understand that. But like I think that even if they had, say, Elizabeth be more involved in the story, so that.
No,
like,
when Elizabeth was, you said, and I quote, I don't like Elizabeth being used to prop Sabrina. So.
I don't like her being used to prop Sabrina.
No, but now Liz has a story.
Let me finish what I was going to say. I don't like her propping Sabrina, but I really would. But I really would like to see the friendship that her and Patrick had continue, and it's non-existent.
Her own story now with two guys fighting over her, and now you're saying I want her back.
No, I'm happy. I'm happy with that.
But when she was supporting Sabrina, you said
I don't. No. But that's my point. I don't want her.
I get
supporting
what you, okay,
Sabrina. I want her supporting Patrick.
Okay, I get what you mean. I get what you mean. You just want it balanced out. I get what he's saying. I guess he wants it more balanced. You know, since Liz works in the hospital, you know, Patrick needs someone to lean on. Want to let Liz be like his friend to talk about.
Epiphany is nowhere to be seen, and Liz is the only other person in the hospital that's around because Monica is nowhere to be seen.
She told me to tell y'all she got dick to worry about. She don't care nothing about Patrick. No,
Sharon, she's like, Patrick, I got 50 kids.
She spent the last 5 years being second fiddle to Sam, and now she got two menfolk running around after her. Patrick can have his own problems.
I get what you're saying. It doesn't really bother me. What just bothers me about this Patrick storyline is, and I know GH fans will agree with me, is that Patrick dealt with Lisa fucking Niles. You know, this should be second nature for Patrick. Patrick should now, some of Robin's parents' antics and their knowledge and shit, and some of Robin's Brandon's knowledge and shit and suspicion should rub up off of him. For him to look at Britt and be like, bitch, please. And for him to, like, quadruple check them DNA tests. You dealt with Lisa. You know I did not like Lisa, but Lisa was a good little villain.
Patrick dealt,
right. Patrick dealt with the best of them. So this Britt storyline is kind of dumbing Patrick down, in my opinion. He should be more smart to be like, okay, ho, I knows you ain't having, you ain't pushing out my baby. And for him to just bust her on it and keep it moving. That
Mel, what did, oh, it. Sorry. Mel, what did you think of Olivia and Sonny this last week?
You know, as much as I didn't want Sonny to have another love interest right now, him and Olivia have chemistry. Chemistry, and it's hot, and as much as I'm trying to resist it, I can't help myself. I like the, you know, they had the little looks between each other, and they finally kissed on the 4th of July, and I don't know if y'all watched today, but they was kissing again, and it was still hot. So, I feel like it's going to win me over. I'm not opposed to it, so.
Are you worried about Connie resurfacing?
What? I gotta worry about her. She gone. Bye, Connie.
Well, she's...
She gonna resurface, and then she gonna catch the bus. She gonna catch the bus to Center City. Now, wait a minute. That's on all my children, Center City, where they go.
Jamie, what did you think this last week of Michael, Kiki, and Morgan?
I'm not calling that girl Kiki.
I like, you know, that's one triangle that I actually can say I like. I didn't really give a poot about Michael and Star, but I like Kiki. I think she's a little, you know, shit stir. The whole forbidden aspect is, you know, it's gross, but we all know that they'll figure out a way for them not to be cousins. So
Danny.
Well, not only that, but then. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say Danny's going to be the catalyst. You know, they're going to test Franco. Franco's going to try to do his best. This is just what I'm thinking. I don't know anything. I bet you when Danny gets sick, they're going to have Franco step up and try to be all, you know, I'm here for you, Sam. I'm sorry. And they test him, and Patrick be like, your rotten DNA ain't no kin to Sam. And they be like, what? And Tracy and them go kick his ass. They go, they're going to do a united front and kick his ass out of that Q mansion. Well, Tracy going to bust the shit out of Ava, and then it's going to be a party.
I'm turning into a Luke on GH's business stuff. And Lord, I usually scream at him for this, but okay. Now, we were told at the beginning of this latest ELQ story.
It is.
That.
Here we go.
No, wait, let me backtrack. So we were told that Edward bought up all the outstanding shares to return them to the family. So by assumption, I took that to mean, okay, so that block of stock Sonny used to have, that block of stock that Jax used to have, Edward pretty much secured all that back up. And then so that they could do this story where all of his heirs were the ones who decide ELQ's fate. And I defended that because, you know, it's kind of like the Murdochs. They have their voting shares, and then they have the shares that are available to the public. But now I'm confused.
And he has children who don't have voting
right.
shares.
They just have.
And he has children who do
all
have
right,
voting
all right.
Yeah, they have percentages, but they don't have the. So I kind of got all that and cut them some slack on that. But now this whole Franco, how can Franco mount a takeover attempt? I don't understand. I mean, yeah, we all know that if you tank a company, you can buy up, you know, that's as old as soap opera. You know, you run the company into the ground to gain control of it. But I don't understand how he could ever do that, since it's all predicated, supposedly, what we were told months ago, that it's all based on the voting shares of the family. Does Franco ever really believe he would get the support of Monica and Ned and Dylan and the Blackamanes and everybody? I just don't see how he would ever gain control of ELQ. I don't.
You know what? I'm going to go here, and I don't mean they are like her. I don't want nobody to be like, how dare you? Well, I do. I don't mind it, because you know I'll come back for your ass. I think it's a situation where Ron is sort of like Maria with these with the stock stuff, with the stock stuff, because we were all trying to figure out the Jabot shit too when Maria did things, and we were just like, how is this supposed to happen? Do you carry the three and do you subtract and shit, and you know, do you times by four? How does this happen? I think it's a situation where Ron is pulling a Maria, and we're all muddied with this. We're all confused as to how this is going to happen.
We were so mad on YNR about it, because YNR corporate stories always made sense. You know,
yeah.
In the past, they've always been, you could follow this, you know, remember when Nikki and the $50 million, no, $35 million at Jabot and all that, remember?
Yeah.
Bill, Bill kept that math on both of those shows. He kept
on a spreadsheet.
Yeah, on both of the Beautiful and YNR.
Excel, okay?
He kept that math. You knew.
Exactly.
Jill Abbott got 20% of Jabot in the divorce. And then when they took Jabot public, that's how Victor was able to take control of Jabot. But Jill still had that much share. Exactly. You know, but they kept it to, they kept their stuff on point up until, you know, the later regimes took over. Why at all? I mean, GH, in the 20-something years I've been watching GH, the ELQ stories have always kind of been told for hijinks and fun, but it was usually Jax trying to take over and everybody voting. You know, I always used to be like, why do these people always vote in their living room? That used to always get me, because they would always have those votes in the living room. But, yeah, I mean, I don't understand how Franco could take over the company.
It doesn't make sense.
But
well,
you know.
Even though GH used to do that, you know, it still was easy for any viewer who tuned out to figure out, okay, Edward has Tracy's proxy. Even though Tracy's not there, he's given Tracy back stock. So he has her proxy. He has Lila's proxy. You see, you have Ned there. He has stock. Sonny has...
AJ was there sometimes, right. And Sonny would sometimes vote Jason.
Well, Sonny bought Jason, so yeah. So you'd have, you know, Alan and Monica had theirs. Sonny had Jason's that he bought. And Jack, you got it, but now it's just come completely confusing now, unless they're going to say somehow that Franco somehow steals their voting rights or something, or some shit, like he blackmailing them or something. It doesn't make any sense.
And I mean, we went over this last week. No board of directors in the world would allow a serial killing artist to be the CEO of a multinational conglomerate. So again, I want them to just undo Franco being anywhere near the cues. I'm not saying get rid of the character, but I am saying...
So you did suggest it last week.
Well,
if
yeah.
It didn't work.
But then after, since last... I know what I suggested. I don't need you to tell me what I suggested. Since I suggested that, I wrote a top five ways to save him. Because I do like Roger Holworth, and I do believe that Cartini can make this work. However, right now, I'm not feeling to the Franco. I'm feeling Ava. I'm feeling Kiki. But I'm not feeling Franco.
Or Silas. Boy, and did we stir up a hornet's nest about Silas last week.
No, no, we.
And see, my suggestion last week about Silas would help your problem with there only being one doctor at GH for everybody to be anchored around like the moon. Well, Silas being there and battling Patrick, like I said last week, for control of GH, because let's be honest, we need to go on and retire Monica. And I'm not saying retire Leslie. I want Monica on the show, but... Monica,
she could be like the board.
Yeah, she can be on the board of directors. She can be a professor at the university. But Patrick needs to be battling Dr. House.
Well, and if we look at what Grey's Anatomy did, Grey's Anatomy went through a bit of a slump, and then they transitioned into the takeover mergers, like doing what it took to save it, and it revitalized it, and you ended up with someone who's now in charge. You have some of the, I mean, who didn't expect to be in charge, and you have some of the doctors as part owners, and it revitalized
part of that because the
oh absolutely
the Cassadines bought up a large block of GH years ago when they first came to town. You
right,
know, that's,
to save it. That lore caused that.
You know, so it's, yeah, there's a lot, you know, but I will commend this regime, though, because, again, I've been doing this for 5 years and have been a fan on message boards for longer than that. And the biggest gripe about GH after the mob, is why is the hospital afterthought? And you have to give credit where credit's due. Sabrina is a nurse. Little Red Hood, Red Pippi Longstocking is lab tech. What is
Red Snapper. Red Snapper.
What is her name? Spinelli. Spinelli.
Red Snapper, that's her name.
You know, she a lab tech. Brad is a lab tech. Felix is a nurse. Britt is a doctor. I mean, they did kind of create hospital characters so that that set could be used. I mean, that is something. I mean, I'm just saying, if you go down a checklist, it's like people complained about this. They did this. People complained about the vets being gone and mistreated. They brought them all back. Yeah, you might not like the story. Oh, it might not be enough. But some show, Jill Fan Phelps just wouldn't bring them back, period. I mean, she just said, tough titty, I'm finna bring back the next mobster from Sopranos, and y'all gonna like it, and Bob gonna write it, and goody, goody, goo, goo, goo. And your 45th anniversary was happy 45th, mother suckers. You know?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Now watch all where she is now. You got happy for this, mother suckers. Go watch the videos because we ain't gonna do nothing on TV. It ain't gonna be no anniversary around here. And don't ask me no more. That's what you got.
We I know our 40 the anniversary for Y&R was just a whole bunch of new faces. Mel, let's talk about Y&R. Nick and Phyllis are scrambling to find Summer. They found Summer on Monday's episode. They are debating how to best tell Jack. Jack, I guess, is going to find out on Tuesday's episode. What are you thinking?
But they beat Summer's ass for running away, heffa.
I'm kind of sad that this all didn't happen at, like, some big party or, like, a dinner or some kind of event or something.
Because
Phyllis telling Jack that Summer is really his daughter at the Abbott Mansion when it's just them is kind of anticlimactic and boring. Like,
and can we talk about the fact that Nick and Summer are in the lobby of a magazine?
Of some magazine we ain't never heard of, we don't know about, that is not relevant to anything that we know. So I don't understand. It's just like, if we're gonna do this, let's make this soapy. Like,
it should have been a giant gathering for
it
something.
It should have been at Jack's damn birthday.
I agree, Jillian. That would be
no, no, no. Why have it at Jack's birthday when we can have Phyllis playing, you know, Jessica Rabbit, kissing that boy in the middle of John Abbott's living room like that. I wish Mammy would have been there to just throw it, hit him with some sticky buds.
No, that's the John's ghost. Should have shake Red's ass off that damn ladder, like, fresh heifer.
I don't know, but I don't like the way it's been. The build-up to it was great, now that it's actually happening, I'm just like, oh. Is this
you
it?
Know what I think's gonna happen? Everybody, there's all these theories online. That was really Faith's hair in that brush. That was really so and so's hair. You know what? You know whose hair that was? What a Nicky's horses, because you know Nick live in the horse barn. Nick messed around and went to the DNA test place with one of them horses with silver dollars.
That's smart, yeah.
You know, Nick is pretty, but he ain't bright.
You know what? The storyline, and this is where, you know, I love my Logan. You know, I say this with L-O-V-E, Logan, but this is what I was talking about with Josh. Like, it started, Nikki's MS started. The buildup of it was kind of good. You see her shaking. You didn't know if she was back, you know, sipping some hooch on the side of the street with some hobo named Jug Jug or something, or what? Or what happened, or whoever. And when you finally get the payoff, it's just like, this is it. The buildup of Nick and this whole DNA test and Summer was great, but the finish for it is
the
just
execution.
Execution, mm-hmm. The finish is just like, really, this is such a letdown. This is a humongous letdown. Summer should have been revealed to be Jack's kid at Jack's birthday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a way, it is, you know, in a way, it's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Jack gets a present, a daughter. But at the same time, Nick loses a daughter. You know, the pathos there, the underlying thing there is he gets a daughter on his birthday, Nick loses a daughter. You know, mm-hmm. Jack also realizes that even though I'm getting this daughter on said birthday, I lost out. Let them tell it just the last week. I'm like, really? Summer 18? Okay. You know, 18 years ago, Summer was, you know, stolen from him. This is such a...
Yeah, and Nick should have confided
and it would
help in his...
Kyle was...
Nick should have confided in his father when he was first wrestling with this.
Yes.
Because then you reignite the most epic feud in the history of that show since Kay and Jill. Because if Victor found out about it and told his son, my boy, you will say nothing about this. You keep things as they are. And then when Jack finds out, forget about Nicholas. Push him to the side. Let Jack find out that the mustache conspired to keep his child from him. And then you reignite this killer feud. It's like they don't know what they're doing. And I say that with all Christian love. It's like this story could have been epic. If you look back at any epic paternity reveal, Rachel showing up to let Steve and Alice know at Alice and Steve's, you know, engagement party, bitch, yo man, the knock me up, you know, on Another World. I mean, these things are supposed to be epic. They're supposed
Hell
to be
on One Life to Live, Tina Kim rolling into Cord's wedding.
Yeah, I saw that clip. I'm like, that was with Marsha Cross. When did I saw that clip?
Yes.
Specials. Yeah, you know.
This is a huge letdown as, well, I mean, what was I going to say? You know, and
Doc
this
needs the co-head. I'm not saying he needs to get the boot, but he needs Kay Alden. You know, B&B is solid. They got a solid. Yeah. He needs Kay Alden and Sally Sussman Moreno.
Sally Sussman, yeah. I mean,
because he doesn't know what he's doing by himself.
Well, not only that, but it would also help if there was a little bit more chemistry between Summer and Kyle, because Kyle looks like he's in a perpetual state of constipation.
Exactly.
It is terrible.
Kyle.
He, like, every single,
dude,
like,
believe it.
He's got
every
to go
single
to.
Facial expression that he makes reminds me of a baby who's like really grunting hard
no!
to poop in their diaper.
It's
terrible.
I've seen this.
Let the record tell that I am not the one who brought up poop in this podcast.
That scene with Kyle and Abby this week,
it was awful. And it's just as bad on Monday if you haven't watched it.
They're terrible together. You can't have those two newbies like that. Bless their hearts. I feel so bad. Hell, I broke Melissa coming to the show. I feel like such a fraud. You know, I'm like, thanks for the scoop, but I'm sorry. They, you know, you can't. She's okay in scenes with Eric Braden. She's okay in scenes with Tracy.
What is that?
No, you just can't have two newbies being, and you know, I wrote this in my piece, so check it out on DC about what I wrote about why I wish my invitation to Jack Abbott's birthday party had been lost in the mail. You don't have two newbies being the only ones in the know. You know, that same week we were watching Bold and the Beautiful, and Taylor Hayes, who has hated Brooke for 23 years, is the one in the know about Brooke's dirty little secret. You don't have two people the audience doesn't know being the ones knowing that Phyllis kissed Jack's son. And Tracy is, where? Somebody get the streamers, everybody!
I got the cake, y'all!
That wasn't Summer and Kyle. What's her face new?
You know, this story, people, you know, this has been done before in Y&R twice before. Billy and Mac, and then before that, Cole and Victoria. Both times, though, these were epic couples that had huge investments, and there was huge jeopardy in that coupling. I mean, Billy and Mac were star-crossed lovers since they were teenagers, you know, even though it wasn't the right actors in the role at the time that they did that reveal.
Yeah. Put simply, this Kyle has got to go.
Cole and Victoria, I mean, my God, that was a great story. All the, you know, that angst and forbiddenness. There's none of that with this. There's none of that. These, you know, why they had to you can't explain to me. Unless Blake Hood was pulling out his penis on set and peeing on Catherine Chancellor's set or something, you can't explain to me why he had to be recast in the middle of this story.
To me, it should have been, you know, I'm hoping Y&R is doing, like, how it took four actresses for them to finally find a Sharon.
But they had
something
the
like
right
that.
Kyle.
But they had the
I
right
know,
Kyle.
I know. I said it on Twitter.
But they fired her like dumbasses, and then they brought her back, and it's like, okay, we're going to put you on recurring. Mm-mm. Dumbasses! That is a dumbass move! And now your Abby is the Ice Princess!
Can you imagine if this storyline was Marcy Ryland and Blake Hood?
At this point, I would rather imagine it be Julie Marie Berman! Get her in there! At least we know she can carry.
Well, I said that on Twitter.
Oh, Julie Marie Berman as Abby would be good.
I said that on Twitter.
We have to get another Kyle, though, because this baby does not know.
Oh, yeah. Julie Marie Berman would eat this boy for lunch.
Yeah, I mean, I defended him.
He, There is nothing engaging about him. His lips move from slim to slim like this as I'm talking.
Like, we can't see
just terrible.
He was good on GCB, and that's what I kept telling Luke. I was like, well, he was good on GCB, but he has got to G-O-O.
You know,
with an exclamation point at the end.
You know, I'm watching it, and I just don't feel the star-crossed lovers thing with Kyle. It just feels as though that Summer finally wore him down, and he was like, "Okay, we're boyfriend and girlfriend."
Like it looks like he makes it come across as if dating Summer is a giant.
Robert Adamson gonna get a fucking storyline. I'm not wishful casting nobody else on The Young and the Restless because I'm not doing people a service.
That baby plays Noah. They got him stuck in a that nobody goes to.
Do anything. Why do you bring these people on? What is Mason doing? He just had scenes with Noah. Hi, Noah. Hi. How you doing?
I got fired from
what happened to Lauren's older son?
Oh, let's not bring on anybody else because they don't know. They can't write for the people.
Well, no, but I'm just saying.
Okay, if they were going to bring this cat on who's playing Noah, they should have brought him on as Scotty. Instead of, you know, and let him have something to do.
Oh, can you imagine Robert Adamson as Scotty in this Fenn storyline?
Just Scotty. I'd rather have a Noah have a storyline. Noah's more essential than Scotty. All Scotty did is write some stupid book with Sheila. Why is Noah Newman just walking around making my ties?
At all. He should be, if you're going to have him do something, maybe he should be like, you know what, Dad? It should be a situation where he should be like, you know what, Dad? You don't give a damn about Newman, but I do. And they'd be like, what? And then, you know, you see, you know, since they're not going to have Victoria, they're not going to have Amelia Hinely as Victoria, let Noah come out as the dark horse for Adam. Like, oh, shit, your son got the business brains while you got your mama's brains for, you know, making a mean Bloody Mary, Nick, or something.
It would be epic if Adam all of a sudden became Noah's mentor and drove insane. It would be epic.
I would like for Noah to, like, you know, I would like for Noah to pull a fast one on Adam.
I suggested a long time ago that he be his mentor. And that, to me,
they had a giant rift between Noah and Nick, and Noah ended up working Nick. Adam, it would be amazing.
If he suddenly, if Victor lures that boy to Newman and is like, you're going to, Adam, I want you to train him up and teach him everything you know. Mm-hmm. Nick finally realized that he needs to stop being the Pied Piper or Peter Pan and grow up and go take a fight and chance at his birthright. They're not doing anything with him. They're not doing anything with him.
One of the other interesting storylines this last week, Mel, Chili, and their baby.
Okay, so I'm just going to start off the top. Billy Miller, you get my most valuable actor award of the week on The Young and the Restless because you were amazing. When
he went from shouldering those scenes with Amelia to having a worthy partner in Elizabeth.
That, and he was really good when he showed up at Jack's birthday party drunk. Oh my God.
Damn that.
So amazing.
And Jillian, what about him and Nikki?
Damn that. That's where I was going. He was like, Ryan always just, oh, I need my Noto to watch this. But Thursday's episode, when he sat down and was talking to Nikki and was making all these excuses, and she was like, you know, I am an addict, so I know it's hard, and I know it takes effort, and your ass ain't doing it. You better take this effort, boy, and fight for my girl. And, you know, when she gave him that pep talk, and when Victor came in, it was like, you're nothing, and she's all crying. Victor's all, you're nothing. You're nothing but an addict. And she was like, wait a minute now. Like, she just stopped mid-cry. I was like, what you trying to say about addicts? Is that how you feel about me, bitch? And he's like, no, I'm just talking about Billy. He's nothing. And she's like, I'm an addict, too. I'm like, this is giving them something to do. I'm like, Josh, don't give us our hopes that you're going to give them something to do and then nothing. You know, Billy Miller was on fire.
Yes, he was. He fought.
Jamie?
He fought for my girl, but she ain't my girl no more. He almost made me want it again. I was like, oh, my God, he's going to fight for Victoria again. But then I thought, well, Amelia ain't even in the scenes right now. I'm like, I can't fight for Amelia no more if she ain't going to fight for me. If she ain't going to fight for me.
I got to ask you a question because...
She ain't going to fight for me. I can't fight for her.
Monday's episode of Y&R, Michael and Lauren tore up the divorce papers, were about to make love, and then they got a phone call from Carmine saying that Fenn had overdosed. What did you think?
So this boy done went from being a bully to almost predator, because I thought he was going to snatch Summer up a couple of times, and now he's a dope fiend. It's like they have a list of 101 teen stereotypes, and they're just going to knock them all out, one by one by one. They don't know what they're doing with these characters. Sarah Bell tweeted something about that, too. You know, first Summer was a bitchy bully. Then she's good. It's like, who are these people?
Sarah Bell had a good tweet about Noah, too, if I'm not mistaken.
It's like, pick a person. She said, pick a personality. And that is so true. I don't even know. You know, next week, Finn will be in the Peace Corps. Or he'll be trying to save old people in the
next
home.
Next week, Finn will probably knock off liquor stores and something. It's like, they don't know what they're
doing. Every day tuning into this show, that Nina Webster was a messy little thing on the take and on the make. And she was going to seduce that dim-witted gay chancellor boy and get in that house. You knew that. Day in and day out.
And she was successful.
That Cricket Blair was a keep your filthy paws away from my
sister-in-law
teen model heroine. You knew that. Every day. They drilled it into your head. Bill Bell let you know who these archetypes were. Look the word up. Archetypes. Summer can't be a bitch one day. It's not like a song. I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a child. No! This is a soap opera. Pick an archetype.
It seems
right out a characterization profile for these, especially these younger characters. They're killing it with Lauren and Michael. They're killing it, you know, to an extent. Well, they were killing it with the Nick paternity stuff. You know, Joshua Morrow in the initial phases, and Michelle has been amazing.
Absolutely.
And we're about to lose her. Ugh.
But they don't.
She better go.
This is her swan song.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason with so many characters on this soap opera. As much as I love Chloe, you know, back in Billy's Orbit, because I was a Chili fan before I was a Billy fan, loved it. But the thing of it is, it's like her breakup with Kevin, as much as I'm glad to see it, it don't make sense because it's all about moral reasons. She being so moralistic about him, Steven, when she's the ring-tailed leader in telling Chelsea to con a man out of his baby.
Well, I mean, she did it with Billy.
Yes, it's like, and we introduced a character, she quote-unquote raping Kate and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just no, but there's no, no character on this show has really well-developed characterization anymore. This man, Josh Griffith, promised us he was going to redeem and save Sharon. What is she doing? Lurking around.
She's seeing Cassie's ghost.
Well, Cassie's ghost need to keep growing. You don't keep growing in heaven. What the hell?
You know, I just... To me, it seems as though, for me as a viewer, I just look at the show. I'm looking at it not only as a critic, but as a fan of this show. I look at it, and I'm like, it feels as though one minute they want to try something new, and if they don't have enough time to see if it works, they come on to something else. Like Summer being a cyber bully, they didn't keep that along enough for them to play out. I kind of dug that because I'm like, oh, you are your mother's child, girl. You are a chip off the old block being a bully like this. And Fenn being all freaky sneaky too. I'm like, you are just like your daddy and your mother. I mean, we talk about Michael, but Lauren wouldn't know staying her damn self. And now it just seems as though, you know, they won't give it enough time for it to like progress and see what we can do more with it. They just are like, okay, well, the ratings this week, so let's just do this. It's like, calm down and let stuff play out before you decide to jump all over everything. And I know people will be like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys are saying that. But, you know, because we complain about things and we want to change. I do that with Days, but we know Days can't change because they take 50 million years, light years ahead. So with Y&R, they really need to sit down and just let things play out. And if it does not play out over time, then you get rid of it. Not this week, Summer is a cyberbully. Next week, she is a go-go dancer. It's like, it's too much.
Let's talk about All My Children. Alicia Minshew returned this week as Kendall, shared scenes with Eden Riegel. It was so wonderful to see Bianca and Kendall back in scenes together. Jamie?
I'm happy. You know, it's always good to see Kane women in Pine Valley. I'm going to be honest here, and this is no slight against the actress, because I did grow to enjoy Alicia's Kendall. I don't think, just like JR was essential in needing to be recast, and they recast successfully, Jacob Young was huge in that role. I feel Kendall needs to be on this show. And for me, if that means Alicia's schedule, for whatever it means, if she can't do it full time, then get another Kendall. There have been 5 soap operas that have been canceled in the last 5 to 6 years. That means there are plenty of women 35 to 40 years old who would be itching to play such a meaty role on this show. Hire one of them. I ain't even going to do a wishful casting. Just pick one. Wendy Moniz, Gina Tognoni. Well, now they probably want her for the other soap, One Life. But just pick a Kendall, because Kendall needs to be in Pine Valley at all times. I don't understand that logic. I mean, to me, Kendall's children need to be in town. They need to help flesh out that teen story that only has, you know, 2 central characters and a bunch of evil bullies. I'm like, they need to round out that teen scene. I feel like you don't recast Erica Kane, you don't recast Tad Martin, but I do feel like you can recast Kendall. All that being said, it was nice to see her and Eden in scenes together again, but I just think they need Kendall full time.
I'm loving the recast, Colby. Just putting it out there.
Yes,
has
we know.
Been awesome. What do you guys think of Jesse's now deal with the devil, the threat from the kidnappers of Cassandra, and the fact that this guy is now wanting him to do things that he's not able to do?
It feels very similar to, you know, and I wasn't watching the show then, but, you know, Jesse seems to be the one cop that gets himself into all these kind of predicaments that he can't get himself out of. So it definitely feels like, you know, some of the storyline that drove him out of town and away from Angie all those years ago. I'm just like, damn, y'all cops ain't got no backup. Y'all can't go to the state police or the FBI or nothing. I mean, y'all are
just... Or tape record them, like, trying to blackmail you. Come on.
But, you know, I mean, but it makes for a good story. And
yes.
I do say, you know, my wishful storyline for that show is for Mimi Fry. Y'all remember Mimi Fry, Sherry Headley. She was in Coming to America. She needs to come on as an internal affairs investigator, because Jesse need to lose that badge. If anybody needs to lose a badge in soaps, it's Jesse. And he also need to lose Angie's brown sugar, because Angie says she tired of going through all these changes and lies with Jesse, getting her children buried in parks and raped.
Well, he wasn't,
and Bob,
he wasn't happy with her closeness with David this
week.
It's about time. He need to get a whole lot closer, because
see,
I love it. Y'all know I've been dying for that.
See, and that's sort of like, I'm going to switch to One Life to Live here real quick, but something happened this last week on One Life to Live that I didn't see coming amidst the catfish storyline, because we have, of course, have Matthew finally meet this girl. They have dates, and then in this week's episodes, she tells him that she's going to see her family or whatever. And then later on in the episode, after Danny and Jeffrey have talked about the fact that they still don't trust this girl, Danny goes to the hotel room where Paulo Segante's character Arturo is packing up the stuff of the Danny's friend who had been killed. And all of a sudden, there's like these very inappropriate chemistry scenes where it was like, is he going to hit on her? Is this where this storyline is going? Could we be seeing? I know, but I'm saying, could we be seeing a storyline where we're having an older man and a younger woman fall for each other potentially, or he manipulate her or whatever? I was so surprised by it, because I don't like read spoilers for All My Children or One Life to Live. I was so surprised by it. I was like, this could be really good. And then I thought, when Taya finds out, she's going to freaking shit a brick. And it could be epic. It would be epic. It was like, okay, I've always, since One Life to Live has been going, or returned, Matthew, Danny, and Jeffrey have been so good. Their storylines, the way they've been plotted and everything, have been really good. And it's like, if they're going to bring this with Danny, I'm actually looking forward to this. This is going to be a lot of fun if that's what they're doing. I'm not saying they are, but if they would go down that path, I would love to see it. But what was interesting about it is he was like, I need to pay you. He says, you're a beautiful, young, good girl. He says, I need to pay you for your time to come over here. And then a little bit later, she's holding up. He goes, you deserve it, or something like that. And a little bit later, she's holding up one of the items of her friend, and she goes, you're a good girl. You deserve it. And it was like, this could be really interesting.
So what's your question?
Well, it wasn't a question. Oh. It was a statement of what I was enjoying about the show.
I thought you had a question.
No.
He needs to be, I mean, you know, look, Roger, we all know Roger's going to be hitting that deuce pretty soon because he's over at GH. He needs to be in Blair's orbit, or y'all need to bring on Max in Blair's orbit, or Paolo Segante needs to be sniffing around Taya. So, you know, I'm a Victor and Taya fan. To make Victor come out of hiding wherever the hell he is, for him to be like, wait a minute now. Don't be touching, you know,
see,
something.
I like Paolo. But if I had to choose between a storyline where you're putting him with Taya, or putting him with Danny, I think I'd much rather see with Danny, just because you don't usually, we like the last time I can think of it, and I enjoyed that.
Now this is the same man who is forever.
No, let me finish. On All My Children, with when David and Annie Adam and Danny were together. Adam and Annie were together. There we go. Get it out.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Adam and Annie, and so it's like,
okay, well, we'll go back. We don't have to go back that far. This is the same man who is forever talking about how Patrick and Sabrina skeeve you out, how young she is.
They do skeeve
she
me out.
Might
that's
be 5 years younger than Patrick.
But that's because Danny isn't running around in little princess tiaras and fairy wings.
Danny, like,
there's a difference.
Cocaine. You want her to be bothered by a 50-year-old man?
No, but the thing about it is they're basically writing Sabrina as a Disney princess. Danny, in no way, shape, or form, has ever been written as a Disney princess.
I don't see them
princess.
Writing her as a Disney, Disney princess.
It's about and if it's pervy and molesty for Patrick to date Sabrina, who is a grown-ass woman with a nursing degree.
Yes, and but they make that worse because of the stuff that they, and the situations that they have.
Hair above her hot box, and you want a 50-year-old man to climb on top of her.
But you don't see Dan. The thing about Danny is, and I can't believe this, because when Danny was on the previous One Life to Live,
she
I didn't care one
like
way or another.
She looked like a baby. She looked like a fast baby.
I didn't care one way or another about her. But she's really come into her own since One Life to Live returned, and it was like, okay, we can do something. But on One Life to Live, Danny embraces who she is. On
what?
General Hospital, Sabrina is being written as this saccharine, sweet princess fairy.
Okay, stop. I'm stopping you right there. They're not writing her as a princess on GH. They're writing her. Let me finish. You like to.
Ugly Betty.
Right. Yeah. You like to talk about cutting off. Let me finish. They're writing her as Ugly Betty, and, you know, with a moral compass. That's how they're writing her. You know, Patrick
so you said over and over how that's pervy because of
that. It is, because they have her in those little
the age difference. Luke, I'm saying what comes out of your mouth. You mentioned the age difference.
Like, I don't like the age difference between Summer and Patrick, but the thing about it
is they accentuate it.
By making her dress up in these childish things.
You realize how inconsistent that is. Because you talk about the age difference. Now, you've just raved about having 50-year-old Euro trash. What's his name?
There is inconsistency.
A child.
There is inconsistencies, but what works for one couple doesn't for another. And I don't think that with what they've done with Sabrina, they basically make her go around fairy dust, have princess wings, and a tiara.
She's babysitting Emma, and Emma likes princesses and fairy tales.
Listeners, y'all tell us in the comments, what is pervia? Be honest. Be honest. What is a pervier pairing based on age? Jason Thompson and what's her face? Teresa Castillo. Paolo. I was grown when Jamie was in middle school. And little daddy, I don't have hair above my hot box. Like to live. Which of those two pairings would be?
I am accustomed to being in a being by myself when it comes to certain opinions. One way or another. What I'm saying is, more than likely, everybody will agree with you. That's how it actually works.
No, that's not true. That ain't true. I don't know what
I said. Usually, not always.
You be reading, but anyway, you be inconsistent. Talk about it.
There's not a problem with being inconsistent if there's a difference in how the storylines are being told.
Would you basically act like Patrick need to be on the child rape register?
To catch a predator!
Well, that's making her act like this little Cinderella princess storyline.
Giving her a dream, her dream come true. She finally gets the boy. So they're tearing up the fairy tale. Now, please let me finish. They're giving her the dreams come true aspect. Hence the fairy tales and what Mel says. Emma likes princesses. I'm sorry. My babysitter
is daddy's more grown up. That means doing a bunch of dope and stripping and taking off her clothes. I think Sabrina's a lot more grown up than daddy. She holds a job.
I'm sorry, your babysitter can't wear a cocktail dress when she comes over to tuck you to bed. I don't know what babysitter.
Listen, every babysitter needs a cocktail dress.
Ooh, so you catch a case at your house. Like,
But but back to the Paolo thing, they need to do him, like, maybe they can give him to Natalie or something. Because I just am scratching my head about this Natalie and Destiny.
Nobody want to date Natalie. She have her clothes hanging in the living room closet.
Stop.
Yeah, but you're right, Jillian. Destiny and Natalie's little go out and do stuff.
That was a little... Danny, I mean, she should be up in Danny's face being like, this sucker Matthew ain't doing for his kid. You supposed to be my girl, but you living it up with this mother sucker girl? Please. Destiny's supposed to be hood and punch Danny in her face for that. You ain't no Destiny. But no, this girl is... No.
Well, for final thoughts, instead of us going around the circle and having a final thought about soaps, I want to go around the circle and have a final thought. First impression, one or two sentences only, about The Real. Mel?
I saw the post we had on DC about if you two skinny bitches don't get off me. I thought it was hilarious. So I'm interested to see how's it going to go and where it's going. I'll give it a shot.
Jillian?
I'm down for it. They are coming for The View's ass. When Tamar up to the Braxton was like, The View is something that your great-grandma, your grand-auntie listened to. I was like, Sherry Shepherd going, who ride to your house? And be like, what you talking? I'm down for it. It looks fresh, funky. You have women of color all on there. I love it. They're all women of color, if you notice the panel. They're all women of color, so I'm down with that. I'm excited for it.
Jamie, I watched the clips that we posted this last week, and I had a couple questions. Oh, my first one was, who in the world is Lonnie Love? And the next one was...
Lily Lou?
Yeah, it's like, I have no clue who this is.
Go on the YouTube, type in Lonnie Love comedy.
If she had a christening, he'd know.
The next one was... I called up Jamie, and I said... Okay, I said, first of all, who's Lonnie Love? And then I said, I'm not sure how this is going to work, because even on their, like, preview, like,
and I tell Luke,
no set discussion, it was like, they're having to, like, edit the clips, because they started going into it, because the Asian chick said, well, Paula Deen is famous for her fried chicken, and Love goes, well, that's racist, too. And it's like, well, but she's famous for her fried chicken, that's not racist.
No,
and they had to edit the clip.
That was stupid, because Paula's famous for butter, dumb girl. She's famous for butter.
Even in articles that are on USA Today, it was like in the the demise of Paula Deen's empire. They talk about the woman who turned a woman who was famous for her fried chicken into a national brand. So it's like, I called Jamie, I go, who's Lonnie Love? And I said, I thought Paula Deen was famous for her fried chicken. How is that racist? Jamie, what are your thoughts?
Well, hell, you gave me so many things to give thoughts on. But,
you'll have more than two sentences.
But, well, first of all, Lonnie Love is on the hottest primetime or late night talk show of women 18 to 34, Chelsea Lately. She's pretty much a regular, and she's a best-selling author and a comedian. So, but I, like I tell Luke all the time, if it's not the black people that they put on in People magazine, you know, Halle Berry, Jennifer Hudson, Will Smith, you don't know who they are. But anyway, yeah, that chicken debate was silly. I love Lonnie, but yes, the Asian girl was not talking about. The Asian girl said something like, well, Paula Deen isn't hired for her politics or whatever. She's hired for her success in making fried chicken or whatever. And Lonnie Love just touched. See? Now that could be racist right there. And I think she thought the girl was making a joke, but the girl was for real. And
her name is Jenny May.
Yeah, and Tamara was like, no, Lonnie, she is famous for her chicken. And they did have to splice. They had to cut and go to the end because Lonnie probably got crunk.
Yeah,
you
she
know.
Probably picked up a chair with that looking
head. Don't act brand new. I mean, there are racist people in the world who do say things like black people only eat fried chicken. That does not, you know, that didn't materialize one day on a magic bush and white people be like, oh, I did not know that people said these sorts of things. We know these stereotypes and where they come from. And yes, now that woman was not saying it in that way. No, I guess no. Lonnie was hypersensitive, but people do say those type of things in a racist and a negative way, you know. So, I mean, but yeah, back to the real, because I ain't thinking about Paula Deen. Paula Deen got more money. Even when it's over with, she gonna still be able to buy and sell all of us. So, I ain't thinking about Paula Deen. But, you know, well, literally, she want to still be able to. But I think the real is going to be crunk. Yes, she do. Yeah, Heifer, we know Paula Deen. And that's what I want to, well, I am going to talk about that for a second. Because people keep bringing up the N-word. It ain't about that. Look at that deposition. Nope. Look at that damn deposition. Where they had folks going in and out, black folks going out the back door of the restaurant. Like, but you know what? Like I said to my mama, I don't blame Paula Deen or her brother Bubba. I blame every black person who did it. Because if somebody would have told me to walk my black ass through a back door, I'd have turned Paula Deen, Bubba and Son restaurant out in 2012 in Savannah, Georgia.
And not only
I'd
that,
have turned
lawsuit,
it out.
The lawsuit is brought on by a white woman. And,
you know,
so,
but the plantation wedding thing is all of that.
Exactly.
Any black person who.
There's a whole bunch of fishy stuff going with there because didn't the FBI also just arrest someone for trying to extort $250,000 out of her?
A lot of people are coming out and, you know, that kind of stuff is all wrong. But my thing of it is, if any black person dressed up in an antebellum costume in 2013 because a white woman said she thought it would be cute, I blame them because you don't have no respect for yourself to do that. Then you get what you deserve. But back to the real. You know I'm going to love it because they some fools and that's how I want to be. I want to be a fool, but y'all keep making me be quiet.
I'm actually excited for it. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, here we go. Y'all done gave Tamar Braxton a talk show. Because, you know, she is, if you've been under a rock, she is the baby sister of Toni Braxton.
Who took her thunder from her.
Yeah, she has. And they've had a reality show for the past 2 years called Braxton Family Values. And she has become the breakout star. She has her own spinoff show with her husband, Vince Herbert, who was Lady Gaga's manager. And she is just, look, I say this with, no, I don't say this with love. I say this keeping it real like a talk show name. Tamar is obnoxious. And now America gets to see it live and in color on TV.
So obnoxious.
See, when I called up Jamie, he goes, the only one who you probably know is Tamara Mowry. And I was like, yep.
I knew Luke knows stuff like Sister Sister and Fresh Prince. stuff like that.
The reason why I know it was on the WB, and I watched a lot of WB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it's gonna be good. The View, I mean, it's not going in competition with The View. I think they should, because they would clean The View's clock. But to me, it's like the younger, fresher version of The View. But instead of two women of color, you got a whole panel. Not only blacks, you got Hispanics on there, and you got Asians on there. So I'm
Lonnie is going to break out.
What I'm going to ask is, when are they going to bring on the token white person in order to try and boost audiences?
I wouldn't be surprised if they cut that. You know, my guess is, because, you know, with these type of shows, somebody, I always remember The View, they had to look, Debbie Matenopoulos was a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
And then with The Talk, look, that Marissa Wonkanita Joncor, whatever her name was,
yeah,
from Broadway. It's like, girl, singing in the rain, because you got to go. And then, you know, they got rid of Molly Robinson and
Leah Remini.
So, you know, if I have to pick, looking at that group, you know, I think that Lachita girl or...
I was going to say, who is that? I don't even know who that is.
For my generation, she was one of the original singers in 3LW. If
y'all
remember that group, bring it back before the Cheetah Girls, okay?
As if I'm ever going to let her in my life, not tonight. Get
a
grip.
She was also... Rob Kardashian's girlfriend, too.
That, too.
She
was a Cheetah Girl.
Yeah. She ought to put off her resume.
Talked about him in the sizzle reel. She talked about him. They were talking about tattoos, and she was like, I have Rob Kardashian's name tattooed on me. And they were like, where? She's like,
That's
I got...
long-ass name.
She was like, I got that tattooed on my ass. And they were just like, girl, now!
He must have put it on her.
Put your name on it.
He must have made her think it belonged to him.
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, we're putting a name on this podcast. Until next time.
I got
time.
A big old ass, so I can write. Look, I could date somebody from Germany.
You could put the Constitution back down.
4 score and 7 years ago, our forefathers brought forth to bring about a great nation.
So that's where the nation came from. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Add us as on Facebook.
Jamie making it.
Until next time, and your local constitutional expert. So
he ain't got no hemorrhoids. He been making it thunderclap. That's what's happening.